pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning, 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the show, all you got to do is hit me up there, text me, and let me know what is on your mind. Scott Buttram coming up here in about a half hour. In the 10 o'clock hour, we'll have Joey Clark and pinch hitting this morning. Jerry Carl going to call in during the 11 o'clock hour. I believe while on vacation. So we're appreciative of that. But that's coming up on the program today. In the meantime, you want to text me 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the show, all you need to do is hit us up on that text line and let us know, you know, whatever it is that is on your mind. I'm sure it's going to rile you guys up, but we're going to talk to Buttram about fly cameras. He is a proponent. And I know when he filled in, he had his hometown police chief come on and talk about the merits of it. gird your loins. Let's start with this. Last night in South Carolina, we spent a lot of time on this. I know this is an Alabama radio show, but it's just, it was kind of a fascinating race to me. And guess what? Donald Trump still has the power in the Republican Party. Darlene Graham defeats Ralph Norman by 4 points, about 20,000 votes, probably 18,000 votes. Now I'm looking at the totals here. And where he did his rally, Myrtle Beach, that's Horry County in South Carolina, really just kind of dominated there. 73-27, where he did the rally. Charleston was supposed to be the big swing county, and that went big for Darlene Graham as well. It was upstate South Carolina where Ralph Norman did better. The Charlotte suburbs, Rock Hill, Fort Mill, and then kind of if you look at like Spartanburg, Greenville, that part of the state is where Norman did okay, but that just wasn't enough. And it kind of debunked this thing that Trump was losing some of his swagger in Republican Party politics. She still gives me Luther Strange vibes, but this time around, it did the trick. And I've seen a couple of stories now where other Republicans are wanting Trump's help. They want this kind of involvement in their campaigns. That's what they want. And it's almost because if you watch the media yesterday, the Inside the Beltway guys and some of the cables, it's all it was Trump stands to lose tonight. Is Trump as important as he used to be? Trump. And now it's kind of, you know, it's not as if they said, well, it turns out we were wrong. They were right, because I think she was a flawed candidate. I think if they had picked another candidate and you have Trump's help, it's a 10-point game. Now, does it work in every state? I don't know. South Carolina is South Carolina. It's a lot like Alabama. But there's something to be said about it. And they're gonna have to find a new narrative that Trump's going to hurt Republican candidates this November. Because it's this, you got to understand sort of nuance of the race. The Trump support is still there. The question is, will the Trump support go out and vote? Yes, we have high prices, high gas prices. That is not going to say, some places it will. But where I think in some of these battleground states, I think I'm going to go vote for the other person, I don't think it's a thing necessarily. Politics is such a team sport now. R&D. So, but keep this in mind, too. This is a Republican-only primary, not a general election. But what it shows us is that, yes, the president can come and drive out turnout for a candidate. He needs to drive out turnout for Republicans. That is, that's the objective now. So you can't be dismissive of it. There's a lot of things Democrats are going to have going for them. Yes, the price of gas, I think, is everything. Just questions about the Iran war in general. And it being the historic trend of midterm cycles, especially during a second term, where the party out of power has big gains. That happens. That's documented. But Republicans have some advantages that Republicans in the past in this situation have not had. Number one, redistricting. They've taken away a lot of Democrat seats. Number two, a very, very distinct cash advantage. The Democrat National Committee is running a deficit right now. With all this enthusiasm about Democrats, big donors are not writing checks to the DNC. And I think there's a little bit of a fear there that these candidates, that Democrats, they want to bite the hand that feeds them. They don't want these sort of Wall Street billionaire bleeding hearts, that they want to confiscate wealth and redistribute it. I think that's hurting Democrat fundraising. It's not that they're writing big checks to Republicans. The Republicans have an advantage here. They have more resources than Democrats. And then it does sound like Republicans are going to try and maneuver to use Trump in some way that's beneficial to them. This is very different from George W. Bush. In 06, Republicans ran away from Bush. Very unpopular war. Bush didn't fight back. Every day, I mean, they went after like every cabinet official except for Gates at the Pentagon for some reason. But they pursued his AG how many different times? Ashcroft and Gonzalez. I mean, just like the Bush effort was a little different. So there's some things that are very different about this cycle, this midterm cycle. There's some reason for optimism, but don't think that it doesn't matter, that there's way more enthusiasm. That TDS stuff is a very powerful force in the electorate. That's going to, that's still going to matter. But I think last night, 4-point win for Darlene Graham, and I would have had her losing. And I thought she was just a bad candidate. Didn't have a lot of good answers when on the spot. About 400,000, well, a little under 400,000 people voting. I think 350,000, somewhere in that window. And wins by 20,000 votes. But you look at where she won, and it was these places Trump campaign for her. If he could drive up turnout in some very key areas, they got to be very smart about where they target. Then that could be a difference maker in some of these battleground states. So I think there's a built-in, people have declared their allegiance one side or another, and it's not a question of this is going on. My gas prices are high. I'm going to go out and vote for Democrat. Yes, there's some of that, but really it's going to be my gas prices are high. I'm either going to go out and vote for this guy or I'm not going to vote at all. And that's what they got to overcome. They got to say, okay, we'll put this aside. He gave us compelling reasons to go out and vote in the midterms and drive up turnout. So this is the last stand. This is his last election where he's going to be, a significant part of it. And if they realize that maybe some of this has to be just damage control, if they're realistic about their expectations and they're smart, they're not wasting time and I don't know, blue states or whatever, then some of that damage control is going to work. I think at this point, a win for Republicans in November is maintaining at least one chamber of Congress. Somehow or another, if they pull that off, then one chamber is, if you lose both chambers, it's just going to be, it's devastating. It's just going to be gridlock, impeachment, show trial hearings. And it's all going to be engineered in a way to benefit whatever the presidential candidate for the Democrats may be in 2028. It'll still be some of that if they lose one chamber. If Republicans win both chambers, and I don't think this is going to happen, but you guys who listen to this show who are Democrats, really, really, I would be upset. I would not like it at all. Because your leadership is just leading you. I mean, there's no strategy here. The Trump derangement syndrome stuff, is it working for you? It didn't work for you in 24. We're still doing it. It does motivate some voters. But the problem is it motivates people to get out to vote. It doesn't change anybody's hearts or minds who did vote for Trump in the past because you've been banging the same drum for a decade now. And people have become just desensitized to it. Oh, this person's always going to be set my hair on fire. Trump will never have another election. He's a fascist, whatever, hyperbole. And it just doesn't work like it once had. It may have worked during his first term. People are just tired of it. And your leadership in the Democratic Party needs to be smarter about this. Like a rhinestone cowboy. 251-343-0106. We'll get to some other things on the way and some of your texts. So stay tuned for that. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. To the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Wednesday morning. Scott Buttram coming up in the next segment, so stay tuned for that. A name texter, quit coaching the Democrats. Yeah, but it's good that if they really show their true stripes, then I think they become a waning influence in American politics. They're divided right now. Like, seriously divided. They're not raising money from their wealthiest because I think of this wave of socialism. But these guys, what they're the problem with the wealthy Democrats is that they're culturally wrong. They're secular. They see a lot. They look at the country in a way that they think if we just controlled it just right and did it like this, then if you allow the philosopher kings to rule, then everybody's going to benefit. And that's just not our system. I think it's going to steer toward the Republican Party, for better or for worse. Jeff, what made you think, this is from Tim, what made you think Graham wouldn't win last night? I thought you were on top of all this stuff. She just was a bad candidate. And bad candidates typically lose. I still think she's a bad candidate. She doesn't know enough. She hasn't caught up. She didn't do her homework yet. It was a flash sort of election. I don't think it was her. I'm giving the W to Trump. And you take Trump out of the equation, you take his endorsement out, Ralph Norman probably ekes it out. Mike, Mike, I said yesterday, the primary voters are as dumb as Darlene. The boomers do what Trump tells them to do. Maybe so, but whatever you think about that, it works. And we're just looking at scoreboards here, Mike. We're not evaluating the quality of the message or the quality of the messenger or the quality of the candidate. We're looking at wins and losses. So, I mean, you could cast this invective about voters, but whatever you think of the voters doesn't really matter. What matters is the scoreboard. He adds, I'm pretty sure Trump could endorse a box of rocks and the Fox News boomers would pull that lever. I don't know. I mean, like I said, we saw it here in Alabama with Luther Strange. And I thought that Trump was like way more of a phenomenon in electoral politics in 2017, 2018 than he is now. But maybe I'm wrong about that. Butterknife. Jeff, she should have lost. Does it help the Republican Party to have her as a senator? Probably not. I don't think it matters. It's not as if they're going to roll her out as the face of the Republican Party. There may be like, hey, look at all these great women we have serving the United States Senate, and it'll be like Katie Britt, and Ashley Moody, and I don't know. That will be this virtue signaling sort of campaign the NRSC might roll out or something, so that could help. But she, like I said, if you just watched her on the campaign trail, you would have thought, how who's going to vote for this? But you're essentially casting a vote for Trump in that primary runoff. Low turnout, very small sample size, however, that vote matters. Like him coming in and endorsing and doing a rally mattered. A couple more here. Unnamed texture, I love watching James Carville lose his mind over communist Democrats. Well, that's what he does. That's sort of his shtick. And whenever he does this and he goes off the reservation, then he cried just conservatives love to play that up. But I think it's a losing cause. The enthusiasm and energies on the far left wing. No one's excited about a milquetoast Democrat that votes Democrat. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. You don't have to call me Mr. The whole world called me Hank. You said, Ripper, can you make folks cry when you play and sing?
Have you paid? Looking like that you in Jackson. And
back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with me, your show host? Well, all you got to do is hit us up on the text line. Still to come on the program, Joey Clark in about an hour from now. He's our Wednesday regular. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, calling in from Maine while he's on vacation, my good friend Jerry Carl, a candidate, the Republican nominee in the 1st Congressional District. So make sure you stick around for that. Joining us now on the line, he is the publisher of the Trustful Tribune, sometimes fill-in host for the Jeff Porter Show. But Scott Buttram is with us on the line. Scott, how are you
this morning?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for hopping on.
Absolutely. Glad to get on anytime I can.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it. I might be rage baiting my listeners a little, but you've taken a very strident position on this whole Flock camera saga, and it seems to be the populist issue right now. And I've my sort of thinking is I don't think it's a constitutional issue at all. Your expectation of privacy on a public highway or thoroughfare is minimal. They could do it, but there's no, it's not warrantless surveillance because you're not in private. However, is this something we really want our government doing? And in a government for, of, and by the people, they will say, no, we don't want this. Then I think that's also something you got to take into account. But we could talk the merits of it or whatever, but you seem to be lining up that these things are a net positive.
In my opinion, they're not just a net positive. They're a huge positive. And then let me say this about your audience, Jeff. They can take it. I filled in for you, about 2 weeks ago, and been a good part of the show preaching the benefits of Flock cameras to that very audience. And I knew full well there were a lot of them that probably would not agree with me, but they didn't lose their collective mind over it. That's an audience that's pretty well educated. And even if they disagree with you, they're usually willing to listen. So, one of the guests I had was, Chief Dave Moret, Trustful Police Chief, had him come on, and he talked about Flock cameras and how they've helped the Trustful Police Department solve crimes. Most of your audience knows we cover Trustful and we cover the 8 cities surrounding Trustful, so that keeps us in constant interaction with a lot of law enforcement agencies. I also shared with the audience that we had the owner of Flock cameras years ago when they first started hitting the market. Trustful was one of the first cities to experiment with them. We interviewed the owner of Flock cameras, Brandon and I did, on Tribune Unscripted, had a great interview with him. I want to start with this. I've never seen anything so misaligned through public perception than the Flock cameras. It almost feels like it came out of the blue. They've been around for years. I've honestly never heard anybody have any issue with them. But when this ball started rolling downhill, it gained momentum unlike, I would have trouble thinking of anything. And I've seen a lot of stuff just kind of take off like this, but not to this extent. And it's kind of mind-boggling to me. There are a lot of concerns I have. And I think some of the concerns about Flock cameras are very much legitimate, should be addressed, and should be considered and discussed. We have a legislature, on the other hand, that has shown a propensity to do two things. One is get caught up in populist issues and make knee-jerk reactions that have a lot of unintended consequences. We've seen that in this state under Democrat control. We've seen it under Republican control. I'm afraid we might be walking into that in this next session. And if we do, it could be problematic. The other thing that really, really concerns me is what I'm seeing on social media. And I'm talking about people who 30 days ago and for the last many, many years have put on their social media over and over and over, back the blue. I stand with police. Don't defund the police. Back the blue, you know, over and over. And these are people we know. These are friends of ours. And I feel that way. I feel the same way they do. And I know you do. We support law enforcement, first and foremost. But I'm seeing some of those very same people in comments regarding flock cameras absolutely demonizing police. And they got no right. And I don't trust them with this information. I don't trust them with this data. And there's been so much misinformation put out online regarding these flock cameras that it is concerning me. And I'm afraid that if this tool, this is the number one tool in law enforcement right now. And I could go into case after case after case that we have covered as a newspaper. And flock cameras were key. I've even seen some local mayors and police chiefs misrepresent flock cameras in our immediate area. And I'm going to give you the example. We got a great mayor over in Springville, Alabama. And that council is considering spending more money on law enforcement. But they're planning, or at least they're considering, cutting their flock camera contract, which they're not going to be able to do, by the way. It's a pretty solid contract. But they were talking about getting rid of flock cameras to put more money into the police department. And they've got a new police chief. We think he's a really good one that came to council and said, I've gone back over our records. I just don't see where flock cameras have been that big a benefit. I think we could do without them. And they're reacting to what they hear, the outcry from the public. Okay. This very same city, just a couple of months ago, had a bank robbery, and they were able to catch that bank robber in 48 hours. The first photo that they sent out to the public, to ask the public to help identify who the bank robber was a picture of a guy on a motorcycle. The motorcycle was wrapped in tinfoil, obviously trying to disguise it. And they sent out this picture. The photo they sent out, guess what? It was a flock camera photo. And so this guy within weeks is in front of the council going, I don't know where flock has ever really helped us in any of our cases. Literally just helped them solve the bank robbery weeks before he made that statement. So this is the type thing I'm seeing from the public that really concerns me, because I don't think legislators, in fact, I can give you examples of where they have not bothered to really research stuff they voted on. The Family Plan Act or Family Leave Act is one of my favorites. Had they simply Googled that, that would have been changed dramatically, but nobody bothered. They just voted on it. And they do that on a pretty regular basis. And I'm afraid we may be walking into a session where something like that happens, and people who really do support law enforcement, really do want crime solved, really do want bad people off the streets, are not understanding this has been a tool to make that happen over and over and over the last, I'd say, 5 to 7 years. And I don't think people understand exactly what it does. I hear people talking about, well, it's, you know, these cameras are surveilling me. And these are fixed cameras that only traffic as it passes in front of them.
Well, let me interrupt real quick here, because here's what I think is going to happen, Scott. I mean, we could talk about the Alabama legislature and their knee-jerk reactionaryism. Fine.
Yeah.
They're going to talk a big game. Yeah. And you're going to hear from some members who are you know, Ernie Yarborough or Arthur Orr or whoever, that want to do something. But yeah, the people who want these things are lobbied up. They got the municipalities, the sheriffs, all the law enforcement, the manufacturers. They're the ones who are going to be in the hallway in these guys' ears and saying, hey, no. we want to keep these. We don't want this. Yeah, we don't want this to be a big public thing. So we got to figure something out to placate the public. Yeah, this is how they play. We got to figure out something to keep them, you know, satiated. What can we do there? You know, give us some ideas here, and then the legislature will pass something, and they'll call it comprehensive flock camera reform. And then the companies and the law enforcement will all be happy about it, and they won't do a victory lap. And then the victory lap will come, and it'll be, look what we did to protect your privacy. And it really will still kind of be, these cameras will still be a thing. So
I think you're on the money.
I know that's like cynical as hell, but that's the way this works.
That's the way it works. And while, as you went through the list of lobbyists, you left one off. You left the number one retailer of flock cameras in the state of Alabama off your list of lobbyists. Do you know who it is?
Who's that?
Alabama Power.
Yeah, well, so.
There are numerous HOAs throughout the state of Alabama who have flock cameras in their neighborhoods, and they were bought, purchased from Alabama Power and installed by Alabama Power. People forget this is a for-profit business, right? So I just read a story this morning, drinking my coffee, in 1819 News. You're familiar with those guys. With Arthur Orr, and the headline was, "It's the Wild, Wild West Out There." Now, you and I both highly respect Arthur Orr. I think a lot of him. I know you do. And I think he's been one of our more successful legislators over the years. That is the biggest misstatement I've ever heard in my life. Well, I mean, that is just a ridiculous comment.
I give him the benefit of the doubt here, because maybe at Trustville it's working and you could trust these guys. But do you really want the city of Selma or Bessemer or any of these places having these flight cameras and setting their own policies? And who knows what they're going to use this data for? That it is sort of the Wild West, because all these little municipalities and counties are able to set their own rules, make their own rules.
Okay. Yes and no to that. Yes and no to that. I completely disagree with the assessment that it's a Wild West. Can the data be abused? Absolutely. And you're right. We're sitting here in Trustville, but as I mentioned, we cover eight other cities. Okay. Two of those cities, Springville and Moody, have fired employees at the police department within the last 4 weeks because they did an internal audit and called two employees, one at each department, who had misused flock cameras. One had tracked a family member. I'm still not clear exactly what the other one had done, but one was fired and one resigned. So it doesn't have to be a Selma, Alabama. You know, it could be right here in Trustville Tribune land.
I mean it in a sense that these cities don't get a whole lot right.
Right.
And that makes me a little uneasy knowing that they have this power at their disposal to really.
I agree.
And I think for that reason, you got to have some kind of minimal framework. At least, you know, the uses could still go on, but at least have a penalty in place to say, hey, if you do this, this is what's going to happen to you.
That's where I start falling in line in agreement. Okay. Number one, Block provides every police department, every law enforcement agency with an audit system so they can audit their own cameras, their own employees anytime they want to, and they recommend that that be done on a regular basis. So any legislation we see that I would support would, number one, require every law enforcement agency in Alabama to audit their cameras on a regular basis. I would say every 30 days, because it's all automated. That audit can be done basically for them. So no reason not to run that audit every 30 days.
Okay, and I understand there are some guardrails built into the systems, but is there like a rival to flock that manufactures these? I mean,
I'm sure there are. The LPRs are not unique to flock, the license plate readers.
And do they have the same built-in protections?
I don't know. But legislation requiring that.
Yeah, I think in statute you need something to that effect, saying, okay, well, you got to be able to go back and you got to evaluate these things on a regular basis. What's that regular basis? Whatever it may be.
Whatever the legislature decides.
If the mayor decides, hey, I got a political opponent here, and he's up on me in the polls, and I want to see if he's going to go visit his mistress, then, you know, how, stuff like that. I don't think that kind of stuff could happen in some of these places.
It could happen. And I'll tell you something else that I would support, and that is legislation upping the criminal charge. I think right now it is a misdemeanor if a police officer abuses that. I would raise that to a felony. So there is a real threat over those officers if they abuse it, or any public official that abuses it. So I would support something like that for sure. I would also remind the audience, and as they start thinking about stories they've heard over the years, they'll know what I'm talking about. We've had police officers for decades pulling over good-looking women just to see the address on their driver's license. I mean, I know that happened because I had friends that did that when they were police officers. You know, there is always the opportunity for abuse by people that are going to abuse things. I think anything we do to clean that up, I support it. I support it.
Well, one more thing, because we're running short on time. At what level of criminal activity should these things be used? If you're trying to catch kids who are skipping school with license plate readers, seems like a big swing there, you know, like maybe it has to rise to a certain occasion for us to use these cameras to go after people.
I do trust the police in using good judgment on that. I'm going to be honest. I've never heard of anything like that other than online. I was in a discussion with a guy online just a couple of weeks ago who had this great detailed story about a young Christian couple who drove from Alabama to Las Vegas and was tracked by flock. And they only stayed a few minutes in Las Vegas because they were dropping something off, and they got picked up by the police and held in custody. That's a completely fabricated story.
But what I don't want is Randall Woodfin's got a truancy problem in the city of Birmingham, for example.
Yeah.
And the truancy is impacting their federal funding. So he says, well, we got to figure out where these kids are and make them come to school. We're going to use these cameras. We're going to track them down, and we're going to force them to come to school, or we're going to penalize. I think bank robberies, kidnappings, murders, whatever. It needs to rise to a certain level of criminal activity before you can use these things, and that needs to be in writing.
Well, how about someone who's got a warrant because they didn't show up for court?
Sure, but let's not go after people. Hey, that guy was like jaywalking, and we're going to use this. And some of these small towns, there's a lot of Barney Fifes out there, Scott.
There are.
And I think they would do this. I maybe they just got a grudge against somebody, and they, let's make sure that, this rises to the occasion of criminal activity where you use a very serious thing that the public ceding to the power to your local jurisdiction.
I wouldn't disagree with the line you're taking there. I think this requires more conversation than what we're seeing online. I think it requires a lot more information than what the average Alabama legislator would probably have. But I see and hear the voices that are saying things that tell me they have, first of all, not done their homework. They don't understand what they're talking about. They have preconceived notions, and they're rolling those preconceived notions. Anytime our legislators start doing that, I get nervous.
Hey, Scott, we got to get out of here. We are way long, but thanks for hopping on this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me. And if I stirred everybody up, I'm sorry, y'all, but you'll have a chance to yell at me soon, I'm sure.
Scott Butcher, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Valley pays the bills we made. Old life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed. Put his hands on my shoulder, then in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. That was a long segment, so this will be real quick. 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, all you do is text me, and we'll respond to whatever it is. Joey Clark coming up in the next hour. G from L.A., it is completely not true that Trump controls the Republican Party. If he was, or Save America Act would be passed by now. Well, he's got more Republicans than not on board with this. So, he doesn't control Democrats.